reaching back into our Hebrew history in our church. We refer to ourselves as having a history of Judeo-Christianity. We read often in the Old Testament that those who grew the crops and grew the livestock that was used for the sustenance of people would take some of it and burn it up, offer it on an altar or table of sacrifice to say to God, "You have given us all that we have. We send some of it back to you." In one sense, it might seem to be a bit primitive, but it does have a basis of being, of acknowledging that what we have from the Lord is from the Lord indeed. Interestingly enough, and I think most people are familiar with our national custom of reverently retiring flags that are torn or old or rendered useless because of the weather, that we gather and reverently retire them by burning them up, by acknowledging that they've done their service to our nation. And instead of just discarding them, we burn them up. Interestingly enough, too, in the deacon's comments this morning, we do that also in the church. There are several parishes where I served as pastor, St. Patrick's one of them, that gather on the feast of St. John the Baptist. It's a Hispanic and Spanish cultural expression to bring those religious articles that are no longer usable. It might be a Bible that has literally fallen apart. It might be a wooden cross that was dropped and cracked or whatever. It might be something that can burn. To gather them on the eve of the Feast of St. John the Baptist, to burn them in a big bonfire, and to send them, if you will, back to the Lord. It's a way of showing reverence for the things that are holy and remind us of our relationship with God. It's done often, and there's some wonderful videos and pictures of it being done along the Mexican coast or in Puerto Rico, right on the beach, when people from the villages would bring those items no longer usable in faith and in a sense sending them back to the Lord. Having reverence for things might seem a bit much. Why are we making so much of a deal? But it's because of our relationship with God. And today in the gospel especially, with the father going way out of his way to welcome his errant son back, we see that reality of how much God thinks of us as people, as one of his own. We often speak of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that we are temples of the Spirit. And in the first reading that was read so well for us, Moses goes back and forth with God about this reality, because the Israelites weren't keeping the commandments. And God keeps reminding him of how much he loves his people, how much he wants to be more a part of their lives, and to guide them on their journey of faith. We hear St. Paul, one of the great persecutors of the church, who becomes one of the great preachers of the church. The second reading, we hear that he accepted God's grace and was appointed as one of the ministers to take the message of the Lord Jesus and take it to the far ends of the earth, the then known earth. I'm part of a small team that works out at the penitentiary on the east side, the maximum security penitentiary, and there's some phenomenal deacons and women religious and lay people who go every week. There are several of us priests who go periodically for Mass and confessions. And every once in a while there is that good news about a few of the fellas getting prepared to re-enter into society. It doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. 2 months ago, two gentlemen, not from this area, were going to be sent home within 2 weeks. And there is a somewhat of a preparation time, although being a maximum security prison for 30 years, just the whole notion of going back into society is somewhat traumatic. But anyhow, both individuals were scared to death about being released. One, because, understandably, maybe not totally correctly, but understandably, their family gave up on them years ago. And the second one, as he said almost tongue-in-cheek, "The friends that helped put me here are only too happy to know that I'm coming back." So they were scared to death. We have a couple of our team that does some follow-up when they are released. The reality is, certainly we believe as Christians, that there is justice involved in our lives and that we need to follow the rules of society. So justice is important, but we move into that notion of mercy, especially for these two individuals. Their fear was the fact that they would not be welcomed back. Certainly the dad in today's gospel is not dealing with the son who spent 30 years in a maximum security prison. But the reality of wanting to welcome him back into the mainstream is extremely important. However, it's the other son that reminds us of the reality that we all deal with. It's people that didn't believe Paul was converted. It was Moses himself who sometimes said, you know, God, I don't think you should forgive them anymore. The human condition puts us in situations at times when forgiveness, even on a real small level, is difficult for us to do. Today, I think we're reminded in the scriptures that we have a God who loves us so much that he is willing to forgive us. As long as we turn our lives around, as Moses and Paul and the early church did, to be on the right path, God's mercy is in abundance. But then comes the challenge, as ministers of the faith that we are, that we need to be merciful also. And it is difficult. But it's a good reminder for us, when we start Mass each week, of asking for God's mercy, that it is possible. And knowing that, the kingdom of God, which is so important and so needed in our world, is built up when the mercy extended to us is also extended to others. No one said it's easy at all. But the reality of I'm sorry, the reality of you're forgiven, the reality of we need you back, is what the church is based on and what makes our individual lives and our family lives more precious. God bless you. Let's stand now and pray.